The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and my technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
I want to tell you a little secret about Ken. You know, we just celebrated Earth Day. He actually went to San Jose State when they buried that green Volkswagen. It wasn't a Volkswagen. What was it, Ken?
Maverick.
And they buried it in the ground. And my God, that was some 47 years ago. Where does time go? Man, that's amazing. I have two special guests joining me in the studio this morning. I have Joy Reagan, who is the founder of Women Walking, and we will be talking about the value of walking and how it helps your health and how it actually improves relationships with one another. And then one of my favorite people, Barbara Moulton from the Citizens Climate Lobby, Political Will for a Livable World. I just love that. Political Will for a Livable World. Both women, in my mind, meet the Women's Spaces idea of introducing ordinary women that do extraordinary things. Well, it was quite a weekend. I have to say that I was kind of isolated. You know, like most of my listeners know, I had minor surgery and I'm still recovering. And so I just decided to take it easy. But I got to watch on Democracy Now! The March for Science that took place in Washington, D.C. and 600 cities across the country. I wasn't able to attend, but I watched most of the five-hour special that Democracy Now! Produced. It was amazing coverage. But what was most amazing is that individuals who deny science when it's brought so much to us. I want to wish my mother-in-law, Mary Norton, a happy birthday. She is 91 years old today. And you know, folks, what a blessing. 91 years old. We have people living to 115. How do you think that happened? That science, that through research. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. The only thing I can think of, these people, something happened somewhere. Either they didn't get educated or they just don't understand. I don't know who's advising them, and it's kind of interesting. Well, the goal of the organizers, as I watched it, their theme was stay woke. W-O-K-E, that means stay aware, stay aware of what's going on, and also a call for communities gathering. You know, it's very, very interesting. We're having an election coming up on June the 6th, I believe it's June the 6th, yes. And we're going to be voting about rent control and also about the possibility of taxing marijuana and looking at some of the regulations. It's very important that people vote. You know, that's being woke. You're voting. You're participating. And the most important, I don't care what anybody says, one of the most important elections that you could have is your local election. Because these are the people that determine what's going to happen in your county. And also, you get a glimpse of future politicians. You begin to see how they work and how they operate so you know who you're sending up the ladder. But it all starts locally. And when I hear 34% of the people show up to vote, it's mind-boggling. We're a democracy. How are we going to survive if people do not participate? You know, you just can't sit back and just go, oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens. No, we can't do that. We have to participate. And another way that you can participate, I want to remind people, you know, there's a little bit of a debate going on in Sonoma County about the oversight office here in the county. And there's going to be a meeting at the Board of Supervisors tomorrow at 2:00, and they're encouraging people to come and speak. And it's very important, again, to participate. Well, one of the things that happened to me as I watched Democracy Now!, it really how can I say it? I made a deeper commitment to continue with women's spaces. And as I hammer all the time, the most important thing that we have to think about is the children. The children are our future. And they had a young little girl. She must have been about 11, maybe 7, 8 years old. They brought her up to the mic, and she was from Flint, Michigan. And I looked at this darling little girl with her curly little hair, you know, and she was really kind of shy to speak. And then all of a sudden she starts talking about the poison water and the lead in her body. How does that happen, folks? Every woman should be out in the street. Every mother should be, how dare you do that to any mother's child? So there's a lot that we have to start thinking about. You know, there's a lot that we have to start thinking about, and I really encourage folks to start thinking. I know it's hard sometimes, but I know I have a hard time. Sometimes I think too much, but that's okay. Well, I have some special announcements, and also it's the last Monday of the month, so we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. So first let me make these announcements. You know, one of my favorite places is Snoopy's, and I'll tell you, that is one of the best museums in the world, and they support women's spaces, and I always want to support them. Well, May is going to be a very, very big month, so I suggest that you look at Snoopy's and you find out what's going on. Like, for example, the first Friday, they have a film series. On May 6th, they're going to be having Bridge on the River Kwai. You know, then on May 6th, also on Saturday, they're going to have a comic badge workshop. So you can bring your kids in. They can help them learn how to draw, how to be a little bit more creative. And then there's going to be a great, great author series. And the first one is going to be kicked up with Rob Armstrong. So, you know, the museum is open starting at 10 o'clock on the days of the event. And I suggest that you just look up Snoopy's Museum and have a good time there. And then a special shout out to my dear friend Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center. And you know, I found out something so interesting. There's going to be a special music event in Santa Rosa for homeless shelters. I just think that is going to be amazing. It's going to be happening, of all places, in at 85 La Plaza in Cotati, formerly known as the Cotati Cabaret. And it's going to be happening on the 30th at 7 p.m. And it's going to be a benefit for the homeless. And it's live music. They're going to have all kinds of wonderful dancing going on. And one of my favorite musicians is going to be there, Buzzy Martin. So that's going to be on April 30th at the La Plaza in Cotati. And it starts at 7 o'clock. And be there or be square, right? Anyway, another thing that's happening, I know there's going to be something happening in Santa Rosa, but I haven't got the information on that. But this weekend, there's going to be the People's Climate March, and maybe Barbara might have some information on that, that's happening in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be marching on the 100th day of the Trump administration, and it's really very, very interesting. So their communities are coming together, and also there's going to be to watch the Facebook and watch different things, and also on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, I will be happy to write whatever I find out that's going to be happening around the climate change march here to support the Washington, D.C. And of course, May 1st is coming up, but they're going to have a special. It's called El Pueblo Unido, the People's March for Jobs, Justice, and Climate. And that's planned for April 29th here in Santa Rosa. And the marchers will gather at 12 p.m. at Roseland Plaza by the Dollar Tree at 675 Sebastopol Road. It's going to be beginning at 1 o'clock. There'll be speakers, music, and a ceremony led by the traditional Aztec dancers. Just be actually wonderful. The march will begin at 2 p.m. and will end up at Old Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa City Hall. I went last year. It's such a sense of community. It really is. Well, that's a lot to think about and a lot of places to go. There's no reason that you should be bored. And, you know, one of the most important things is right now in the world is that we have to become active. We really do. And I really recommend the Peace and Justice Center has a newsletter that comes out. And you can call Shekinah Black at the center and get on their mailing list, because they have the list of all the organizations and all the people that are needing people to help. You know, people power. is a lot stronger than political power, you know, and we don't recognize that, but there's a lot in numbers, and we need to gather, we need to get involved. And I hope when we listen to these women today, these two special guests that I have, that it inspires you. It inspires you to get up and do something. And one thing, you know, people complain, oh, we don't have time. I have children. I go to work. I mean, we can have every excuse in the world. But you know something? You can always write a letter to the editor. You can always pick up the phone and call your congressman or your senator or one of your local people. And you definitely need to pay attention to what's going on in your community, and every once in a while maybe make a call and speak out. So if you're overwhelmed and you're too busy, find ways within that busyness to participate. Because folks, we need everybody in there helping out. Well, now, like I said, it's the last Monday of the month, and we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And folks, more than ever, you know, why do I do this pledge? Because, you know, it's very difficult when all of a sudden you find yourself in front of a board of supervisors saying, you're looking at all of them, you think, oh my God, these are elected officials, you know, how can I say anything? Well, when you have self-esteem, you realize they're elected. You elected them. They're there to serve you. They're there to listen to you. When you don't have self-esteem and you think everybody's better than you, then you don't speak out. We need to speak out. We need to let our voices be heard. It's so important. So let's do the pledge. If you're driving in your car, don't close your eyes. You know, pay attention. And also, I would like the people in the studio to join me. My goodness, there's four of us today. This is so exciting. So we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. I will say the first line, and then you just repeat after me, and then we'll go through the whole thing. So let's start. One, two, three. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, that feels so good. Doesn't that feel good? Yeah. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. You know, that brings a thought to mind. Before we take a musical break, I want to do a little plug here. I just got through watching a series on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why. Very, very interesting series. It really kept me focused. I mean, I couldn't wait till the next chapter. And it's 13 Reasons Why. It's about a young woman, she's about 17 years old, who commits suicide, and she leaves behind her these 13 tapes that kind of explains why this happened to her. Well, what it did for me, it brought me right back to high school. I mean, I was right in high school again with all the feelings and all the insecurities that we have. And the most important thing that I found out through that film is that we need to pay attention to one another. You know, life is a precious gift. Each one of us, I was watching this other series called 9 Months, you know, how a baby is developed and all that other stuff. I mean, all the way, in this series, they show it from the sperm to the egg to the birth. I mean, it's amazing the process that each one of us go to become this full human being. Each one of us is a miracle, a miracle. We should treat each other that way. Should we treat ourselves that way? We should treat the whole world that way. When we start thinking about it and paying attention to each other, I think it makes it a lot easier to live in the world. And especially those years, I mean, every school should be showing that series to their students. It's so important. And one of the other things that happened that I learned in that series is that how we don't believe we have impact. We don't believe people care about us. And in the long run, what you find out is they do care. And it's just very sad. It's a sad situation. But at the same time, the joy of that 13 Reasons Why is it puts in front of our face some of the horrific things that happen to us that form our personalities and how we ignore some of the signs that we give each other. Very, very important. So I encourage you, that's on Netflix, it's called 13 Reasons Why. And if you watch the film, email me at Elaine at Women's Spaces.com. womenspaces.com. Remember, there's two S's in the middle, womenspaces.com. And let me know what you thought. You know, did it inspire you? Did it remind you of your teenage years? I mean, my God, we're so lucky that we even survived them. Well, anyway, we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing, if you remember, was a song that was used to raise funds for the in Africa when there was a huge starvation and drought there. And Michael Jackson pulled it all together. And it's called We Are the World. I'll tell you, he was one of the most talented. After he passed away, and I start listening to some of the stuff that he wrote, and oh, my goodness. But this is one of the – this is really a beautiful, beautiful song. And it's sung by a group called the Countdown Kids. So it's young people are singing it. So here we go. We Are the World, sung by the Countdown Kids. And when we come back, I will be talking with my first guest, Joy Regan, the founder of Women Walking. Just love that song, Making a Choice. It's such a big word, choice. C-H-O-I-C-E. Choice. Choice. I mean, it's amazing. Why do people fight choice? It's amazing. I love having a lot of choices. When I go to a restaurant, they don't just serve me one thing. I have a menu. I mean, that's what choice is all about. Anyway, for you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Joy Regan, founder of Women Walking. Welcome, Joy. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. You know, Joy is just a friend. I don't know. I can't even remember how I found you, but I'm really excited about the concept, and I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Joy Regan started her company, Women Walking, walking partners for women because of her life and work experience as a mediator, a single parent, and the desire for community connection. Very important, community connection. As a single mom, Joy and her kids moved to a town where they didn't know anyone. Working, getting home tired, parenting their kids, Joy wanted friends, which motivated her to begin Women Walking. Joy loves to share what she's learned about walking, about listening, about connection, and the joy of being in a community with women. Women Walking is the outside to walk, get outside to walk movement, and women who want to walk with one walking partner. They're dedicated to making walking fun and a simple exercise. Well, welcome, Joy. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Anything else you'd like to add?
That kind of says everything, but I was thinking as tears were welling up in my eyes over the song we just listened to about kind of how I came about starting the business was really related to that song about making a choice and standing together as one. Two women out walking, we really connect and form a sense of intimacy that helps me to realize that we are all one.
You know, it's really interesting. I mentioned at the beginning about this 13 Reasons Why, and that was one of the things that really came out, the disconnection of everything and how you, if you feel connected, you feel secure in your what you're doing, but if you feel disconnected and you don't feel people care about you, it's really very, very different. Well, how do you think when you talk about walking and, you know, you're walking outside, how do you see that connecting women and how does it create a well-being? I mean, what are some of your experiences been? And also, what was your challenge in starting this? I mean, this is a big endeavor.
It's much more than I realized when I started it, that's for sure. But it's been an evolution. I really started it, well, for myself to have somebody to walk with and to feel connected to a community where I didn't know anybody. And I'd see women out there walking together, and they always look so happy. So I thought, wow, I'd really like some of that. So it just kind of evolved through the mediation. And what I saw in mediation was really a power to get what the other person was saying.
Explain a little bit what mediation means.
Okay, mediation is a process where two parties or two people sit together and go over what they're having some sort of dispute. It could be a country, it could be two people, it could be groups, and the mediator acts as the person who creates a balance. They're unbiased, and one party listens, the other party talks, and then they swap.
Did you ever think about volunteering to get these guys together who are creating all these wars to start talking to each other, you know, mediating a little bit?
I think that's the power of women walking together. I think that when we get outside to walk, it feels good, and it's a different space than the chaos that we see in everyday lives. Just we're busy, we're working, it gets challenging. So even if you can walk around your neighborhood, there's moments of real presence, and two women feel that, and something about the outdoors, I'm reluctant to use the word magical, but it feels magical because it fills in all those spaces, even things that we see every day, the birds just flighting around from the trees, or the hawk chasing the little one, or, you know, the little creepy crawlers on the ground, or the, right now it's springtime, so the colors are amazing. And it just creates conversation. It's so easy. It just flows. And you, I can only speak for me, I feel better when I'm
well, your blood is circulating, you know, you're walking.
Exactly.
And you have friendship. You
yes.
know, you have someone to talk to, someone to be close to. I mean, what can be better? You know, we Ken and I walk. We lived right near Paulin Creek here, and it's just delightful. And right now, with the rains, and you see all the water, and you see the what are they called? Those white birds.
Oh, the cranes?
Yeah, the cranes, and we see the blue heron, and every once in a while, you know, the ducks, and then you see the baby. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just really amazing. Well, give us a little idea of how do you bring people together? I mean, for example, one of the ideas that I had, and I'm going to throw this out to my fans or my listeners out there. You know, you can always email me at Elaine, E-L-A-I-N-E, at women's, womensspaces.com. Remember, two S's in the middle there. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun to have like a women's spaces walk?
Yes.
You know, and just, but how would
Let's
somebody,
do it.
How would somebody get in touch, or how do you organize that?
Well, right now, I don't do group walks, although it's in the works. I'm thinking about organizing some group walks
well, you're
in
have
the
to
area.
Do this group walk.
So starting with Elaine's Women's Spaces walking. Well, right now it's walking partners, because that's kind of what the one-on-one, shoulder-to-shoulder, side-by-side, whether you're talking, whether you're not talking. It's a community-based membership, and you sign up and look for walking partners wherever you want to walk. It could be in your neighborhood, hopefully, or it could be if you're on business and you're traveling in the country and you wanted to walk with somebody. It's really about women creating their own power through connecting with each other, feeling good through walking, moving our energy. And we don't have to walk out in Point Reyes. We can walk around our neighborhood.
You know, it sounds like people have to sign up with you. What about if you're too shy? I mean, what are some, you know, how would you encourage people to give you a holler on this?
I would encourage them to contact me through my website or give me a call and we can talk. It's encouraging women to take that step if it's feeling a bit scary for them to, you know, just take that step and see where it goes, because I think that's how we feel better. Part of the process of feeling empowered in ourselves is when we feel afraid of something to make a step and see where we land, because invariably, inevitably, usually we feel better because we did it when we were afraid.
Well, you know, that's what the whole pledge is about, you know, your
yes.
self-esteem, because most of the time people stop, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not right enough, they're not going to like me, you know, or blah, whatever goes on in your head, you know, that they call it self-talk, I think, and I know I'm famous for that. But it's so important, like you said, to take that first step. And especially if you're out there listening and you might be new in the area,
yeah.
you know, you might feel a little bit lonely, like, you know, I want to walk, but, or, you know, and sometimes it's just good to walk with someone or talk with someone that has nothing to do with anything that surrounds you.
Exactly.
You know, it gives you that kind of comfort. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment. It goes by so quick.
It does.
You don't even know what hit you. This is called Radio Time. Anyway, give us your website and your
okay.
phone number that people can get a hold of you. And also to let my listeners know, I will definitely have it posted on Women's
Good.
Spaces.
I'd so love to do that.
Go ahead. Give us your
it's
website.
It's womenwalking.net, and you can contact me at contact@womenwalking.net, or call me is 707-347-9255.
Give that website one more time, Joy.
Womenwalking.net.
Well, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart
thank
for
you.
Being on Women's Spaces, and
thank you
for for creating something like this. And like I said at the beginning, you know, here's a woman that had an idea and she said, okay, I'm going to go for it. And that's what ordinary women do. And that's why this show is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things. It's like those unsung people that we never hear about. So I want to thank you, Joy Reagan, for being here.
Thank you for
having
me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Wow, I'll tell you folks, it's so exciting to me when I hear of people that just take an idea and run with it. And at the same time, they bring so much joy to other people. It is so important. So a special shout out to Joy Reagan for doing Women Walking, and I'm going to push for that Women's Spaces Walk. I just think it's a great idea. Besides, I'd love to see who's listening. So remember, you can email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Well, we're going to take a break now. And the song I'm going to be playing, I think, is so important. You know, we're going to be talking about the climate. We're going to be talking about the Citizens Climate Lobby, political will for a livable world. I just love that. And I thought that one of the best songs that I've heard is from the cartoon, Disney cartoon, which is Pocahontas. And the song is Color of the Wind. I just love that song. It is so beautiful. So here we go. We're going to be singing, we're going to be listening to Color of the Wind. It's sung by Vanessa Williams. And when we return, I will be talking with Barbara Moulton from the Citizens Climate Lobby, Political Will for a Livable World. Here we go.
Have you ever let the eagle tell you where he's been?
Oh, I just love that song, The Colors of the Wind. I can almost feel the wind on my body when I'm old. You know, I wanted to say something. It's so interspoke at the March for Science, and that I was listening to on Democracy Now. And she was a young woman who was an American citizen from Iran. And she was one of the women astronauts who went up and explored the space station. And she said, you also get the feeling that we're all on this rocket ship in the middle of nowhere, and that we need to share it. We need to understand it. We need to pay more attention to it. And right now, it's really important, especially for the future of our children. What was so amazing about the March on Science was when they would pan the whole audience, you would see so many young faces there with these expressions like, we've got to do something. And I looked at it as a woman, and I thought to myself, you know, we as adults have got to support our young people. We're leaving them a future. You know, everything we do generates a future, and we have to start thinking that way. You know, one of the things about our Native American brothers and sisters, they always say you have to look ahead 7 generations. Now, why do they say that? Because you want to preserve the earth. You know, and what's so crazy, the thing that is so crazy, is that these people are going to push back on the Clean Air and the Clean Water Act. You know, we cannot live without clean air. We cannot live without clean water. Water is it, folks. Water is everything. We need to protect it. You know, we need to take care of it. So a lot to think about. And, you know, I don't normally plug shows, but I really will plug Democracy Now. You can go on the internet, parts of it, because it just gives you a sense of what people are, you know, are all about. Well, that's a lot. I know I have a lot of commentaries today, but, you know, I'm really fired up about a lot of stuff. And I was really fired up when I saw what happened, in Washington with that march. And also a special shout out to the folks in Santa Rosa. The Press Democrat reported 2,000 people showed up for their March on Science. And if they say 2,000, I'll go 2,500 to 3. I'll always add another 1,000 to it. But a big shout out to the folks in Santa Rosa for coming out and for supporting Earth Day, and also for supporting this march. I mean, it's amazing. You know, that's a lot of people for our county. And, you know, I just want to remind folks, you know, during the Iraq War, about 3,500 people came out, and everything they predicted came true. Everything. You know, we're in more of a mess now than we've ever been in, and that was predicted. So pay attention to what these scientists are saying, and what these marchers are saying, and what they're concerned about. Because each one of us, I don't care if you're Republican, a Democrat, I don't care if you're gray, white, I don't care what color you are, you're a human being, you're part of the human race, you are affected. Anyway, that's a lot to think about. And now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my second guest, Barbara Moulton. Welcome, Barbara. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thanks so much, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. You look so good with your headset on. You know, that's what's so wonderful about people coming into the studio. Well, Barbara, let me tell the folks just a little bit about you before we start, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Barbara Moulton is a volunteer and co-leader of Citizens Climate Lobby in the Santa Rosa chapter. In the early 2000s, she started Biking for Transportation. Actually, that's when her and I first met. I was on the Community Advisory Board, and she was on the Bicycle Coalition, and we would meet with Marcia Vaz Dupre once a month. Anyway, she started Biking for Transportation out of an ever-increasing concern about global warming and fossil fuel pollution. She served on the board of the Sonoma County Bicycle Coalition for several years, and has served on the Santa Rosa Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Board since 2009. In 2013, Barbara and her husband, now both retired, and I'm going to ask her what she retired from, discovered Citizens Climate Lobby, which is working towards carbon fee and dividend legislation at the national level. Citizens Climate Lobby is now her main focus. Well, welcome. Anything else you'd like to add?
About me? No. That's plenty.
What'd you retire as? What was your...
The most recent thing for me was being a single parent. I retired from parenting. That was lovely.
Oh, my goodness. I was a single parent, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just, I can't believe that I actually went to school while I was raising my daughter. That was amazing. It's just amazing. Well, talk about what motivated you. So all of a sudden you decided to become a bicyclist, and what was it that was the beginning thought for you that created that?
Well, understanding more and more what a critical situation we're in with the climate and global warming, that we have to act. And so first I was approaching it from a personal level, by bicycling, by buttonholing everybody I knew. You should ride your bike. You shouldn't fly. You should don't pound on the table here. you know, just all this personal action, all of which is wonderful, but it was not moving the needle. And so I was looking for something. What would be the thing that would actually have an impact? So that's where discovering Citizens Climate Lobby has been so wonderful, because Citizens Climate Lobby is focusing on what we see as the single most impactful step we can take to address climate change now, and that is carbon fee and dividend legislation.
You know, I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit about the political aspect of this. One of the things that happened as I was watching Democracy Now!'s program with the March on Science, there was a gentleman that got up and he said, how many people like politics? And they start booing, you know, and he says, no. You got to change your mind, because it's politics that determines things. You have to become involved. You have to speak out. You have to take a stand. So I think that's an amazing. And when I start reading about what you're involved in here, I found they have these core values, which are just amazing. Do you mind if I read
it? Sure, go for it.
One of them is focus. Number two, optimism, to be optimistic, to have faith that things are going to happen. Relationships. You know, integrity. Oh, what a word, integrity. Personal power. I love this. We use our voices to be heard. This simple act transforms from spectators to engaged citizens and reveals the true nature of democracy to us.
That's a really important part of Citizens Climate Lobby, is that we work to empower people to have personal breakthroughs in the exercise of democracy. So people move from being afraid to speak to speaking, to being afraid to writing a letter to the editor, to writing that letter to the editor, and feeling more and more empowered.
Very important. And the last thing is, now explain this a little bit, because I always get a little confused when I hear this. Nonpartisan, what does that mean to you?
We are building relationships with people across the political spectrum. We don't care what you think. We want to know you and understand, particularly people in power. So we're working with every congressional office in the nation. We have members in every congressional district. We have our own members span the spectrum from progressive to conservative. And we feel that our proposal has broad support. It addresses concerns of both conservatives and progressives.
So this is a national organization then?
Yes. Well, actually, we're international, but primarily in the U.S. and Canada. So we're focused on national legislation.
So you become, you're a chapter then of a national, it's like the National Organization for Women. We're a chapter. We need to join chapters. Chapters need to join hands.
Yes.
Okay, so explain a little bit more about what its other involvements that you have with this organization.
Well, we go to Washington and lobby. We have meetings with our congressperson here in district. Of course, Mike Thompson is great, and Jared Huffman, also representing part of Sonoma County, is a wonderful representative.
You know, I was very surprised at Jared Huffman that he didn't go to the inauguration. I don't know why, but it surprised me, and I was really proud of him.
Yeah, well, he's very good on the environment. He's just a wonderful representative. In any case, so we build those relationships with our congresspeople, but we also build the political will to support them in doing the right thing. So in Florida, for example, Citizens Climate Lobby worked really hard with a Republican representative in South Florida. They brought community leaders of all stripes to say, please act on climate. We will support you. We have your back. You will not be outed in the next election. Republicans were terrified that they would lose their seats if they spoke out on climate. So Carlos Curbelo joined forces with Ted Deutch, a Democrat from Florida, and they started the Congressional Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus. That was started last year. 2 years ago, there were zero Republicans in Congress who were willing to say climate change was real and required congressional action. Now there's this caucus, which has, as of last count, 38 members. Half of them, exactly half, are Republican. They have to stay equal. And so, and then there's also a number of Republicans have also signed a declaration to the effect that climate change is real, human-caused, and requires congressional action. So we're moving that political will.
You know what I don't understand, Barbara? Maybe you can just cover this a little bit. I don't understand where people are coming from. I mean, you've got all this science. You know, you've got all this, and you're looking at flooding, you're looking at fires that are mounting all the time, and you're looking at all these different aspects, and yet there's resistance. Well, what, I don't understand that.
You know, there's a wonderful book out called Don't Even Think About It, Why We're Hardwired Not to Talk About Climate Change. That's roughly the title. It's written by a man named George Marshall, and he talks about all the reasons, and there are many. But one of the biggest ones is we've evolved as tribal people. We require our tribe to survive. We cannot survive alone. If our tribe has one set of values, it's dangerous to go against that. And so we, even unconsciously, don't challenge those values unless we're really moved to. It's a difficult thing. So most people follow the lead of the people that are their leaders.
That's interesting, you know, because I just never can figure out, you know, why when you see something in front of you, you know, and also it's particularly all of a sudden attacking science. I mean, when you think about it, where we've come from when before we even discovered fire, I mean, you know, discovering fire was actually scientific at the time. You know, they had to figure it out. They had to figure out how to keep it going. At one time, if a fire started and they got fire, you would carry something around that had like a flame so you could start it later on. But that's science.
Well, you know what else is science is agriculture. Many in agriculture are considered conservative, but farmers are scientists. They observe what happens, they take careful notes, they keep records, and then they make their decisions based on what they've observed, which is very much what science does.
So, but that's why I don't understand that why there's so much resistance. I mean, but like you said, if it's a tribe, like you belong to the Republican Party and they're all going in this direction, so you're going to just go in this direction because you're afraid. But at the same time, there seems to be some warnings that are going on that maybe make you question.
Well, and there are luminary Republicans who are quite clear that climate change is a problem that we must address, and they are out of the closet now, such as George Shultz and James Baker that recently went to the White House with a carbon dividend proposal, quite similar to our proposal, not exactly the same, but similar. So it's a broad, broad consensus that we do need to act, but it's not got quite the traction in Congress yet. But I think we'll get it.
But what you're saying is kind of leaking in. It's kind of coming in.
Well, there's broad belief in this country that climate change is real and a problem that we need to address. And so Congress is – really most members of Congress, I believe, understand that it's a problem. And it's a matter of does it serve them politically to come out and say so? And that's where – Citizens Climate Lobby comes in.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to tell my listeners is that I do have my guests send me 5 questions. This way I have a broader idea of what they think is important. So I'm going to ask you one of the questions that you sent me. Well, there's 2. What solution does the Climate Citizens Lobby offer? And also, how can we get federal legislation when Congress is so polarized and Republicans control Congress and the White House? I mean, what are some of the steps you take? I know lobbying, or what are some of the other things you do?
Well, as I was saying, we build the political support, particularly in congressional districts where it's not already a done deal. So we're working very hard in Republican districts to build that kind of support to urge those representatives to take action in a bipartisan manner, to take this out of partisanship. This is too big a problem to be delegated to partisan politics.
Well, it shouldn't be a human issue, not a political issue.
Exactly. And I think really people are starting to get that. I think we're approaching a positive tipping point here. More and more, we've been getting a new Republican on this Climate Solutions Caucus practically every week this year. We started out with 16 members in the caucus in January, and we have 38 now.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. Another thing, when you think about the March on Science, I mean, it was, they said there were tens of thousands of people there, and it was raining.
Yeah.
And the way, I mean, people stayed there. I was watching. I said, my God, all the umbrellas were up there. It reminds me of the Women's March. When it rained, we just put our umbrellas up. It was just amazing.
Yeah. So I wanted to answer your first question, though, is what is the solution that we propose? Carbon fee and dividend legislation. The proposal is to put a steadily rising fee on the CO2 content or equivalent of fuels just about as soon as they come out of the ground, right when they enter the economy. That's pretty simple to do because there are a relatively small number of fossil fuel companies that would need to assess this fee. It starts right up there, and then it trickles down to the entire economy. All of the money would be collected by the Treasury and then returned to households on essentially a per capita basis.
Let me just ask you, so when you're talking about measurements. So how do they, in other words, the oil, say, comes out of the ground, and there's a high level that they pay a carbon tax. Is that what you're saying?
Right. But it's based on what's the CO2 content of that fuel when it's burned.
So CO2, what is that?
Carbon dioxide, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Or the equivalent, because our proposal also would cover methane and several other greenhouse gases. So coal is much more intensively carbon dioxide producing, so that would pay a higher fee than oil, which pays a higher fee than natural gas, which is less so. But then natural gas has methane. So that's where you get measurements, and those things are already known, so that's not difficult to assess.
How would that help the environment on the assessment?
Well, because as things that are made with those fossil fuels or produced by using them, those things will get more expensive. It incentivizes businesses, manufacturers, and consumers to move away from those expensive sources of energy to make their products to less carbon intensive. And because it's a steadily rising fee, business and industry can plan ahead and say, oh, it's not too bad now, but in 5 years or 8 years or whenever we're buying a new fleet of buses or whatever we're buying, we're going to want the thing that uses much less carbon-intensive fuels. So that quite quickly and dramatically moves the economy away from fossil fuels.
So what's the resistance?
There's probably the fossil fuel companies don't like it so much. But even then, the oil companies, most of them have already factored into their business plans a carbon tax. They know it is coming, should be coming, and so even Rex Tillerson has said that he supports a carbon tax. Now, I don't want to forget the secret sauce here because it's really important. The other side of this is what do you do with the money? And we propose you give it back 100% to households. And that way people can both absorb the increasing costs while we're making that transition, but it means that people aren't going to be hurt, particularly at the lower and middle income levels. Those people will come out equal or ahead in their overall expenses.
So you're saying when you do the tax, it's not going to impact the people, it's going to impact the businesses.
Right. And it makes a level playing field. So business can all move together or not. They can decide to innovate or not. They have choice. But the impact on business will be fair and equal across the board. The dividend going to households is a stimulus to the economy. So the economy would actually grow and create more jobs if we instituted this program.
Is there any examples where that's been tried before?
British Columbia has done something similar. They did a steadily rising fee. It went from, I think, $5 or $10 a ton of CO2 up to $30. And they capped it there. But it was quite popular, and their economy grew while they had this. And it's still growing. It, relative to Canada, they were the most rapidly growing economy provincially in Canada, I believe, from when they started this. So it didn't hurt their economy at all.
Now, this, what you're talking about is led up, is the, our legislators are the ones who make the decision on this.
Yes.
Is there any way that the public can vote, or what can the public do to support things like what you're doing?
They can contact their legislators. They can tell the people that they work with. They can talk to the businesses. They can build those relationships. They can help build the political will. And that's where Citizens Climate Lobby comes in. We'd love to have all of you come in at whatever level you want to.
Well, I just never knew about this. I'm new to this. I mean, I went on the website and started doing all the research, and I went, oh, my goodness, right here in Sonoma County, here we are, another place to get involved, another place to do some good. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment, Barbara. So if you'd be so kind as give us your website, and also, do you know anything? Are they having any marches next week, and do you know of anything that's going on in the county?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier. There's the People's March next Saturday. That's April 29th. Gathering at on Sebastopol Road in front of the Dollar Tree. Gathering at noon. The program starts at 1, and the march starts at 2.
So that's going to be we're combining the climate and May Day all together, which I think is great, because let me tell you something, if we start getting into more sustainability, we'll have more jobs. Labor and climate must go. Or give us your website one last time and how they can get a hold of you.
CitizensClimateLobby.org, and they can get me at Barbara.Moulton, that's MOULTON, at citizensclimatelobby.org.
Well, Barbara, on behalf of Sonoma County and on behalf of Women's Spaces, I want to thank you for bringing this into our county and being so dedicated to it. Thank you, thank you. And mention you said you're doing this with your husband. Let's give him a shout out. What's his name?
His name is Tom Hellman. He's a dynamite.
Well, good news, Dot. Behind every great woman is a great man. We know that. Anyway, thank you so much, Barbara.
Thanks, Elaine.
Wonderful, wonderful guest. Wow, that's it, folks, for the show. I can't believe it. I mean, 1 hour goes by in 2 seconds. Before you know it, it's over. I want to thank my special guest, Joy Reagan from Women Walking, and hopefully you'll hear some more news if we're going to do a Women's Spaces walk, and also a special shout-out to Barbara Moulton from the Citizens Climate Lobby, and thank you so much. And I hope if you go on our website, we will have all the information, and the most important thing is get involved. You know, and the simplest way you can get involved is go and write a check. You know, give a donation. You know, help these causes. We need help. We need to support each other. And remember, we're all in this together. We all live on a planet. It's called Earth. It's our home, our spaceship, whatever you want to call it, and we need to protect it, and we need to take care of it. And a special reminder, you know, that Women's Spaces, remember, will re-air at 11 o'clock tonight on 89.1 FM. I really appreciate if folks become fans on Facebook. You know, I always joke, I say, Oprah Winfrey has 2 million. You know, I'm up to almost 500. I'm so excited. I want to make 500. Come on, become fans. And if you're interested in the walk, I said, email me at Elaine@womenspaces.com. And remember, our children are the future, and to never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life.